What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And I want to start with the news. The Jets put out an official statement wishing Aaron Rodgers the best, but they're moving on from him. He wanted more trophies there. He didn't do it. He said he wanted to end the leaks. He was the leak in the locker room. He did all these things. He became a distraction. And now the Jets are making this decision. So two questions, really. One, where does Aaron go? What do you think is likely for him as far as a landing spot? And then what are the Jets thinking as far as their quarterback position?
Yeah, Rodgers is in an interesting position right now, right? Because he feels like this could be it. Like, his raw numbers last year were pretty decent. If you don't watch the games, I think you could argue, okay, Cleveland makes sense. Pittsburgh makes sense. Maybe if, you know, the Rams want to make a big move and, you know, kind of refresh a little bit, move Matt Stafford, get some good trade value for him, and then you just get a stopgap quarterback and Rodgers, maybe that can make some sense, right? Like, you can sell yourself on the production part of Rodgers because he's better than maybe like five or so, eight starters at least, like even at his low end. But I think the rest of the conversation with Rodgers is the tough part. And he's just an odd person, to say the least. And I think bringing that into a locker room is tough to consider. And then you factor in the money and everything else. And I don't know, he's a little bit unpredictable. And I think that could lead to a retirement, right? Like, I think that's the question, is does he push for a job maybe at a team that's maybe rebuilding and he can bridge the gap to a rookie? But is he interested in maybe being benched at some point? So I think that's a tough part for him. For the Jets, I get moving off of Rodgers, but they have no clear path to upgrading. And I think that's the tough part, is like, are they willing to, with Aaron Glenn, give him a little bit of a tough situation to either start a rookie that they're probably going to have to, you know, stretch a little bit to take either someone there in the first round. I don't know that anyone's going to be really worth that pick. Or in the second round, I think that's a tough sell. Or do they bring Sam Darnold back? Do they really plan on doing that? I think that's a really tough sell for the fan base. And I'm not really sure. I think the Jets, it's easy enough to move off of Rodgers and just kind of shed yourself for the experience. But to not have a backup plan is a little bit unique and difficult.
To that end, what do you make of the rumors of Matt Stafford being done in L.A. and whether they decide to move on from him? I mean, a trade part, I'm sure there would be a market for him, certainly more than Kirk Cousins for that matter. But what do you make of the Matt Stafford rumors?
Yeah, I'm all about maximizing the assets that you have. And, you know, they're a playoff caliber team. So, like, that's the tough part. Do you want to give up your chance at potentially making a Super Bowl run? Maybe you catch fire in a bottle. You've got a really young defense, so maybe you want to see where that goes. But if a team like the Giants or the Jets want to offer you their first-round pick, like, if you're talking about getting like a top-10 pick back for him, for a guy that's in his late 30s, he's expensive, he's been dinged up a lot in his career, I think you have a pretty good pitch there to make a move, but then you have to have the replacement. It kind of goes back to the Jets thing. It's like, just don't make the move just to make the move. You want to stay competitive, especially when you have Sean McVay. Does Sean McVay actually want to take a step back too, or is he just going to, you know, get back into that weird headspace where he was thinking about retiring? Like, if it's going to cost you Sean McVay, then I don't think you make that move. But if it's something where he's in it for the long term, Well, I'd probably consider it then, because I don't know that they're a serious Super Bowl threat as is, but there is something to be said to being a playoff threat every year. Like, no franchise wants to go from a playoff team to a total rebuild if you can help it. So very unique situation. I don't think I'd buy it unless if you start to see some really high trade compensation that starts with like a top 10 pick.
Ian, we've been arguing about whether any team is going to potentially trade for Kirk Cousins. I do not believe that to be true. I think they wait it out. They make the Falcons cut him, and then they sign him if they want him. Do you see that scenario playing itself out, or do you think there are teams that will be interested in making a move for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I would lean towards what you're thinking, where they cut him. If it's going to be a trade, it's going to be pennies on the dollar, right? Like, you're talking maybe a conditional day three pick, maybe a pick swap, like Cousins and a sixth rounder for a fifth rounder. It's going to be something that's pretty ugly, and it probably happens after June 1st because you need the money to work out a little bit there, and it's a little bit easier to do after June 1st. So otherwise, these teams are smart. They know it. When they know that a trade is available, they'll wait. We've seen better players than Cousins just be outright released, and then they'll swoop in and they'll pay him next to nothing, right? Like we saw it with Russell Wilson, very similar situation. I think Wilson was coming off of a little bit of a better season than Cousins is, considering the injury history and everything like that, and he was just released. So I think that was a little bit of writing on the wall. I wouldn't get your hopes up that you're going to get much in return for Kirk Cousins in a trade.
No, I don't think the expectation is to get much in return. I think the expectation for the Falcons is to create the cap space with a post-June 1st trade. That's what you're gunning for. But I believe the Falcons when they say they wouldn't release him. I genuinely do, because they look at it as a sunk cost, and they have a viable backup, so to speak, a $40 million backup, but a viable one at that. Is there a team that you think, you know, could fit, Kirk Cousins could fit with?
I think Cleveland, right? Cleveland's got to be the obvious one. Kevin Stefanski, that connection, they have a major need. I know Cleveland fans have their hopes up that they can get Cousins, whether it's via trade or as a free agent. They think he'd come cheap, and they want that to happen because they don't have a ton of cap space to work with, obviously, dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation. There's some other teams I think maybe you could say, yeah, he could go there and compete, especially if there's like a Stafford trade. The Giants, I think, makes sense as a stopgap too. Brian Daboll is a good quarterback coach. So I would have trust in him that they could get something out of him. But I think that you're onto something there too. Like, I think Atlanta is not going to be super motivated to make this work. Like, they'll get a little bit of cap space, but a lot of that cap space is going to be for 2026 if they make a move. And like, I don't know how that helps their team now. And I think they're going to be looking at it like, we already spent this on him, so you've got to make it worth it for us. So it's going to be a little bit of a standoff there between Cousins, because I think he's going to have some of the say in this. Cousins, the team that wants to get Cousins, and then Atlanta. It's not going to be an easy deal.
What do you think of Michael Penix?
I like him. I think he was pro ready. I think he's ready to start. The pick was odd because they just signed Cousins, but like, if you take that away from it, I think it made sense. He's such a good pocket passer. You know, there might be some limitations there athletically and maybe as a creator, but you want to take a risk sometimes, and it's going to happen when it's not the number one overall pick, but he's so accurate. He's so smart. Like, you could see that all from the first time he even played in the preseason, right? Like, he just looked comfortable out there, and he's ready to play. Like, you got to get that guy on the field. His age is part of that equation too, but you want to bank on the intelligence, the accuracy. His physical traits are good enough, and I think that, you know, if you give him enough weapons and you give him a much better defense, you're going to have a chance.
He's Ian Valentino, NFL writer for the 33rd team, joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The running back position, when it comes to the draft this year, it seems like there's a resurgence now, and teams are going back to that main workhorse back. We saw, obviously, what it did for the Eagles with Saquon Barkley. Do you expect that teams are going to put more focus on that sole lead running back, not only through the draft but in free agency as well?
I don't know that I see it being more of a lead cow back. I still think there's going to be a less of a workhorse mentality because there's that risk of the drop-off, and you're still seeing some teams get a lot of production out of like the second tier, third tier of running backs, but you want to have two of those guys. I think there's going to be value in that. And there's so many running backs in this draft class where in some ways it's going to push the cream of the crop up. Like, the couple of guys that you think that will be number one types, Ashton G&T, maybe a Caleb Johnson, maybe a Omarion Hampton. Those guys are probably going to still go in the top 50, but I think everyone else still gets pushed down. So you might get like this lack of a mid-round running back, right? All of a sudden, you're going to start to see some really good names and then, you know, start coming in flurries on day three. And those guys are going to be 1A, 1B types, where both running backs get like 12 to 15 carries each. I don't think we're going to enter the full era where there's like 25 workhorses. I don't know that we're going to be at that point ever again, but I do think we're closer to what it used to be. And I think that's smart. It's where the league should be going. The guys coming into the league are just too good. And we just saw it against the Eagles. How do you beat that Eagles team? You have to run the ball to beat that Eagles team. That's the only way that you're going to beat them. You're not going to throw against that team too well, even if you're Patrick Mahomes. So watch for the league to pivot a little bit, but I don't think it's going to go all the way back yet.
Yeah, it's a great point. Ian, what do you think New Orleans does? I saw where Kellen Moore, you know, was not necessarily giving a vote of confidence to Derek Carr. They got a lot of problems, and we bring them up because they're in our division. I thought it was interesting that nobody really wanted that job. I know there are 32 of them, but Kellen Moore ultimately takes it. But it's an uphill battle for what they have to do and how they have to fix that team.
Yeah, they're finally paying the piper for all of those cap moves that they made and all of the magic that they made. Like, it's at a head, and it's finally here. I think they just have to embrace it. Like, this year is going to be rough. You probably have to be accepting the pill a little bit with Derek Carr. I think you have to keep him for this year just because the money, the way that they restructured his contract. Again, like, sometimes you just have to deal with a declining player, and he's going to be expensive, and then you deal with it next year. So for them, I think it's about rebuilding the roster around him, at least for this season, getting a lot younger across both sides of the ball, find some impact players if you can, but they're not going to be signing anybody in free agency. I wouldn't expect too many major moves for them. It's going to probably be an ugly season next year where they're trying to lay the foundation for the future, and then you start seeing a lot more moves the year after that because they can start shedding some of that bad salary. But I can see why coaches maybe didn't want to hitch their wagon to that too, because they kept Mickey Loomis, right? They kept the GM. Right. It's a very odd situation with that. Like, you know, Kellen Moore took on a tough job. Like, it's a fun job if you're, you know, in Madden and you're the GM in Madden, because it's a little bit easier to do. In real life, that's a tough job. And not having the quarterback of the future, like that Spencer Rattler pick not paying off is, you know, it's whatever because it's a day three pick. But if he would have hit, that's a lot easier of a job to sell yourself on.
Real quick, Ian, I think the reports of the Chiefs' demise are greatly overstated. That said, they have a ton of questions to answer. I mean, Rashid Rice is coming back, but Xavier Worthy is a number two receiver. They have no running back. Travis Kelce's facing retirement. They need more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. What's your forecast for the Chiefs going?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey!
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not panicking about the Chiefs yet, but this is probably the most important offseason that they've had in quite a long time. They have to embrace that the offense has to change. Like, Travis Kelce is, whether he comes back or not, he's just not overly helpful right now. The wide receiver room needs to be turned over. Like, DeAndre Hopkins proving to be a bust of a signing is a tough blow. These other things, like you said, Rice coming back, but can you even count on Rashee Rice because of his suspensions and constant issues with him? So they're in a little bit of a weird flux. A lot of personnel needs to change over. They're an expensive team. The defense is getting a little bit older, especially with Chris Jones. So they have to start taking some bigger swings. And what I hope that they don't do is do what New England did in Tom Brady's later years. We're not there yet with Mahomes, but we are kind of there with Andy Reid and some of these other guys where you have to take some bigger swings. Don't just take guys that plug holes. Try to find more stars. Build what you built originally and just try to kind of keep that momentum going. So I think you're right, though. I would look at the offensive line. Obviously, we saw the Super Bowl, but they have, you know, two guard spots that need to be addressed, a left tackle spot that needs to be addressed. What are you going to do there? Running back, need to upgrade that position too. So I think they just need to look at themselves and say, we probably need to overhaul the system a little bit, not go too crazy, but make things easier for Mahomes and get some new playmakers in here and then build it around that new talent. Like, we don't have to keep running the same stuff back when the talent has to change out anyway. So they're going to be really good next year. Like, I'm with you. I think that's still probably going to be a 12-13 win team no matter what. But that team needs to be certainly injected with a lot of fresh talent.
Yeah, you bring up New England. It's a great point. They continue to change as they evolve with Brady, even though Brady was still there. That's what has to happen with the Chiefs. Great stuff. Ian, we got to run, man. Ian Valentino, follow him, guys, NFL writer for the 33rd team. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.